This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. For those of you who would like to contact me, you can go to my website, which is bdcministries.com, bdcministries, all one word, .com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and the program can be re-listened to there, and there's a lot of other information on that website that you might find helpful as well. The program not only can be listened to there, but you can read a weekly meditation there. You can reach me if you'd like to at Bible Studies Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. You can use the regular postal address, Bible Studies Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, last time we were looking at the length of life of those people who lived before the flood, and we noted that even though they lived a long time before the flood, it still turned out that there were three words that are very significant even to us today, and those three words are, "and he died." And of course, the genealogies were primarily dealing with the patriarchs, so it's "and he died," but we would also say "and she died." We saw one exception, which was Enoch, who walked with God and was taken to heaven without dying, which seems to be a forerunner of the fact that there will be Christians alive at the return of the Lord when he will rapture the church or take them home without dying. We only see Enoch going to heaven without dying, and we see that with Elijah, who went to heaven without dying, and it apparently will be true of some faithful members who are part of the real believing, Bible-believing church. They will be raptured and taken to heaven as well without dying. But because we die, we have to think about our relationship with God, and that's really what this program is all about, making sure that if today were to be the day that we were to die, that we know our sins were forgiven and that we have a home in heaven. We know that we need to be forgiven. We need to have the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all sin, and we only can obtain the benefit of what he did at the cross when we believe on him. And that's why we're told, even by the Lord himself, to repent and believe the gospel. That is, quit arguing with God about how to be saved and about the need to be saved, and recognize that you need to be saved and that you're a sinner, and turn to Christ and depend wholly and completely on his work to save you. Works are, of course, something that evidences the fact that we're saved, but works never brought about faith. But faith always brings about a change in our attitudes and activities, and so faith will bring about good works. So now, as we look at Genesis 9, I'm coming to Genesis 9 and looking at the rainbow. That's what I want to deal with today. Genesis 9 and verse 11 says, "Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." And so as we look at this passage in Genesis 9, verses 11 through 15, we have a beautiful promise of God telling us that what he did before to the generations that preceded Noah will never happen again by a flood. Problem is that at the end of this world, there's going to be a destruction of this world again, because it's going down the same rabbit hole, following Satan rather than following the truth of Scripture and the truth of God. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And so we know that while God has promised us that the earth will never again be destroyed by a flood, He's also promised us that there's going to be a coming day when the earth as we know it today, its elements and all, are going to be burned up, and God is going to start over. And it's an interesting study to make, because when we come to the book of the Revelation and look at this new heaven and new earth, there's going to be no more sea. And in the first creation, water was a very significant part of the sequence of life that takes place on this earth. You don't have life without the oceans and without the rivers and so forth. That's part of the way in which the earth regenerates itself. But in the new heavens and the new earth, there's going to be no more sea. And I just don't understand that, but that's just a point aside. But the point is, every time we see a storm, and usually in my case, we would see it as an evening storm, as it passes off to the east and the sun is in the west, often we see that beautiful rainbow. And when we see the rainbow, we are reminded of God's promise. There was no rainbow before Noah's day. And the question is often asked, why is it that there was no rainbow until after the flood? And as near as we can tell, it's because the whole way in which the earth operated in a natural way, the natural life cycles changed. It appears that the earth before the flood was much like a terrarium, that in fact there was a canopy of gases that trapped the cosmic radiation and probably bounced it back into the solar system, and which is one of the reasons why people probably didn't age as long as they did. I'm doing a little speculating here, but that's one of the suggestions, that in fact the earth operated as a terrarium. There was water came up from beneath the earth. There were streams that watered the earth from beneath, but there was no rain that came down from above, and this canopy worked somewhat like a self-enclosed greenhouse, much like a terrarium would, and kept the earth fresh. Probably there was the same temperature at the poles as there was in the center of the earth. It was a lush situation. It was a beautiful situation, but that canopy apparently was destroyed when the floods came. And now we have these storms, and we have rain. And when we have rain, we have out of the rain and out of the storms, we have the reminder of God's promise. And this promise is interesting because it says, I will remember my covenant. God says He will remember His covenant. Does He ever forget anything? No. It's reminding us that He is memorializing His covenant, His promise, that He will never again destroy the earth with a flood. Now, when we look at the rainbow, we often use the rainbow as a children's lesson because it has all of these different colors, and these different colors in the rainbow are beautiful, but in fact, they speak to us of different aspects of the work of the Lord. When we look at a rainbow, there's actually not just six colors or seven colors. Newton decided there were seven colors that we see because what we're looking at is light being refracted through a prism, and it just keeps bending the light, so there's an infinite number of colors, but our eyes don't see an infinite number of colors. And so I always felt there should be six colors, but Newton decided there were seven colors. And as a result of saying there were seven colors, and he had some philosophical reasons for thinking that seven was important, it had to do with his understanding of musical notes on a staff, as I understand it, but we don't need to get into all of that. But when we look at colors, we know that if we're looking at colors that are absorbed, like colors that you would see absorbed by construction paper, opaque colors, we know that when we combine the three primary colors, we get six secondary colors. But when we look at the colors that come from a rainbow, they're going through a prism. And that those colors that go through a prism are bent in such a way that you can get an infinite number of colors. But whether we see six or seven or eight or 12 depends, I guess, on how good our eyes are and how good we are at seeing these colors. Now, when we look at a rainbow, we know that it starts out as white light. And the white light speaks to us of everything beautiful being put together. It speaks to us of Christ. It speaks to us of purity. But when we see a lack of light, that would be darkness or blackness, and that's what we see in the early part of Genesis, isn't it? That the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, when we see that, we're reminded again of sin and of the lack of the presence of God. So the rainbow, in a sense, reminds us either of white light, Christ, or of a lack of light, which would be the issue of sin. But when you look at the rainbow, you'll see red, and that reminds us that it took the blood of Christ to redeem us or save us. You're going to see orange. Most people would see orange, which would remind us of fire or judgment. And many people would see yellow or gold in the rainbow, and that reminds us of the preciousness of the Lord and of the salvation that he provides. And most people would see green in the rainbow. And whenever we look at green, we're thinking of spring, we're thinking of new life. And of course, isn't that what we constantly preach on this program? That except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know that we need the new life that comes by turning from sin and trusting in Christ. We need that new outlook. We need that new energy, that new beginning, and we need that forgiveness. So the green is extremely important. And when we look at blue, we see heaven, and we know Christ came from heaven, and we know we're going to heaven. It reminds us of the heavenly nature of our relationship with God, particularly in this day. And then we'll see indigo or violet, and this is where Newton broke down the light in a different way than I would have. But if you look at the indigo or violet, I would look at it as sort of the purple robe of royalty. So we see the blood of Christ. We see the judgment upon sin. We see the preciousness of the gospel and of Christ himself. We see life. We see heaven. We see royalty when we see the rainbow. And so the next time you see a rainbow, remember you're seeing a picture of the gospel and of the promise of God to never again destroy the earth with a flood. And that when he put that rainbow in the sky, he did that so that we would know that he has a memorial to his promise, and his promises are yea and amen. He fulfills his promise. And just as he's never destroyed the earth with a flood again, his promise is that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And that's his promise as well. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And that's the promise that we see in the rainbow as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. In our Savior's name, amen.